And good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Breakfast Club on this Thursday, June 23. Adam White and Scott Gullen with you to take you through all the way through to 8:30 this morning. We have a big show coming up. Have a listen to some of the names we're talking to this morning. Dave Hussey will join us with news of the BBL's draft and what that actually means, because I'm not entirely sure. Tom Mitchell, the Brownlow medalist, joins us from the Hawks ahead of the big game with the Bulldogs tomorrow night. Troy Chaplin, talking about big games, the big one tonight between first and second, Melbourne and Brisbane. We'll get the insight from both camps. Troy Chaplin from the Demons, assistant coach, and also Jed Adcock from the Lions. I wonder who'll win tonight at the MCG. And a little bit later on also, Mason Cox, who is now an Australian citizen, I think. Australian? Let's call him Australian. He was part of a ceremony at the MCG yesterday, so he'll join us. Plenty to talk to him about. Not only that, but a bit going on at Collingwood. And talking about all the things going on at Collingwood, Mark Stevens will also join us with all the footy news. So plenty to get through. I think we're also going to catch up with Craig Gabriel between now and 7 o'clock, because plenty of news coming out of the world of tennis, with Serena Williams guaranteed to be playing at Wimbledon next week. I think it's next week. And also Nick Kyrgios getting injured, surprise, surprise, ahead of Wimbledon. But I think he'll be okay to participate next week. So plenty to get through, and Scotty Gullen's going to help me do that. Good morning.
Morning, Adam. Wonderful to see you.
Yes, I'm courage. Back. Oh, yeah, real
courage has all forms. Well, this is another sign of it.
I was just saying to you outside, 2 years ago, I would have been at work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with a bit of a cold, but you can't sort of do that sort of thing anymore.
No, you get frowned upon.
Yeah.
And so it's excellent. You did when young Nicholas got us through, guided us through.
Yes, he did a very good job. He did. Thank you to Nick. Well, he's coming again tomorrow for the Friday form, but yeah, he did a great job.
Terrific. Very, very excited. How was you took time to...
I hate being there. I hate it. You're so bored. You can't do anything. And I hate it. I don't like it at all. But one thing I did do when I was away...
Just count your money.
What was that for? Oh, the golf. Yeah, that was good.
Yes.
That was really good. Matt Fitzpatrick.
That would have taken a couple of days. Jeez. The mail had it. Reached us.
It's good when you back someone at pretty good odds, and in the final round they hit 17 greens out of 18.
What about that bunker shot? He said it was the shot of his life. How were you when you were viewing it?
I was pretty emotional when he hit it in the bunker.
Yeah.
As they said on the coverage, he could have hit it into the hospitality tents on the right and got a free drop. But that was one place where you just didn't hit it.
You could see off the tee, you go, oh, he's a little bit left, and they sort of didn't pick it too early, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
He's literally in.
Now, that was a bit of a setback, but I kind of felt I had a bit of a cushion in that I kind of thought Bogey would have at least got him into a playoff.
Yeah, true.
But I discounted Zalatoris the whole way along that he wouldn't get it done, and he almost did.
That putt looked in.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an easy watch.
Were you off the couch when it missed? Was there a little bit of yelling in your... ill
no,
there's, state.
There's some sort of... It's a little bit
subdued.
Like... it's relief. It's sort of just the low-key fist pump.
Kids would have been at school. Did you have the house to yourself?
I did at the time,
oh,
yes.
Oh, this is true.
I did at the time, yes.
No, well done. That's 30-1. You don't get that every day of the week.
No, it was good. It was good. We had the two selections. One missed the cut, and Lowry and Fitzpatrick did the job.
Right.
So it was quite good. So anyway, while I was on...
near
death. I watched a movie called Hustle.
Ah, yes.
Now, I must confess, I didn't know really anything about the movie before I watched it, other than a couple of people had said to me, it's a really good movie.
Correct.
Now, for those that don't want to be spoiled by it, probably flick off now and flick back in 5 minutes.
That's fair.
Because it is quite a remarkable movie the way it's made. So for those that have now left the scene, we can keep talking about it.
And its producer is LeBron, so it's got LeBron's fingers all over it.
So it is a basketball movie about what's his name? Adam Sandler, who's a scout for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he's under pressure to find
the next big thing,
and he goes around the world, and he's, without giving it away, he stumbles across a particular player.
Correct.
The thing that blew me away at the end of the movie, and I actually didn't know this watching the movie, is that virtually all the basketballers are professional basketballers and not actors.
Yeah, well, I picked that up because I know a few more than you, but The actual main character, I didn't know him, but he is an NBA player. So clearly they filmed it in the off-season. Yeah. But you're right, the cameos are everywhere. Everywhere.
Like the guy that was sort of touted as the number one pick, Kermit.
His villain was actually the number one pick.
Yeah. And I didn't know that watching the movie.
Yeah, I had to Google that at the end. I mean, it's obvious from the scrimmages they're all legit players, but... Oh, I think, LeBron's got on the phone and said, boys, this is the project, get involved. And the Philadelphia 76ers, Sandler was sitting at a legitimate game. Like, it was all, it was very well done. Very well done.
Now, I know, apparently you spoke about this earlier in the week.
Oh, we did. Sorry, apologies.
I was completely blown away by it because I'm a pretty harsh critic when it comes to movies. And true. Particularly sports movies where you want it to be as realistic as possible. Well... You couldn't get much more realistic than that.
I think Adam Sandler loves his hoops, clearly, and it was a very good role from him.
Yeah.
No, it's a must go and look at. I'm glad you stumbled across it.
No, I liked it. It was good. George has given us a call nice and early, 6:10 on a Thursday morning. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Adam. How are you feeling? Well, first of all.
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. I'm okay.
Oh, no, just look. You're very hard to get through to you anyway. I tried to get through to you and Daniel last week. I've been 3 or 4 times, but you people are getting very, very popular. Huh?
The phones are always busy
that's
here.
That's right, exactly right.
Mate, I'll tell you before you're the next Lauren and Hardy, and I'm not bloody wrong, I tell you. Next thing you know, you'll be on TV because you talk about TV anyway.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you. It was a good week for me. You know? Collingwood winning four weeks in a row. Now I'm talking to you for the wrong reasons. And then we had Australia making the Australian Cup. And then after that, we had Nigel Stripper winning everything. And I thought that was a good week to get in touch with you people. You know, so everything was going fine. But now I'm talking to you for the wrong reason because Colin, they're doing so well and all of a sudden I got all this rubbish on the papers.
It's fair to say it's been in the papers a lot this week, George.
Oh, man, they sell papers, you know. I personally don't think, the guy did anything wrong. The girl was having a good time and he was having a good time. But that's Collingwood. Collingwood sells papers and that's all there is to it.
For those who don't know, George, De Goey isn't playing this weekend. That was the latest.
Yeah, I know he's not playing, but that's sad because, really, he didn't do anything wrong. I've got no problem with that. You know, when I was young, I played up, but nobody put me on the papers. I was spewing. another thing, I want to congratulate Quiddy, he picked 6 minutes and a second yesterday at Cranbourne, That's not very, that's not easy to do. Now, that's a top performance. Quinny done a very good job.
Oh, he didn't tell me that, George. He kept that to himself.
His winners, they were $5, $7, $6, and they were good winners. And lots on privates, So he did very well, 6 minutes and a second. And I cut program, that's excellent.
How many of those winners did you back, George?
I had 3 and a second in the quarter, but I missed the quarter. But I missed there at number 13, and that's where Quinny ran second too. In a quarter, I had 3 and a second. That's all I had. That's no good.
So we haven't spoken to you for a while, but clearly things haven't changed. You're not getting the quarter.
I've got a couple, but they're not by much because of the flexi. But I'm not going to worry about that. I'm doing all right, as I said, it's not putting me ringing because it's very hard to get through. I tell you, you'll be on TV next.
All right, George. We'll make sure that you ring again soon. We'll have a chat soon.
Oh, we'll definitely talk to you. But my clock will be on 16 September. That's your birthday.
That's correct, George. That's very good. We'll speak to you soon, George. George giving us a call from the beautiful Layla.
That's George, who I've been to his house.
That's right, with her breakfast, his house.
Yeah.
6:13. Before we take a break, I know that you've spoken about it all week. And I'm sure that Steve-O will speak about it as well, about the whole De Goey situation. But there was an element of a full stop, maybe the end of a paragraph or end of a chapter yesterday with the fact that he's now not
playing
this week.
Probably one more to go, but yeah.
At least one more to go. Where we are now, I'll throw it to you this way. Do you think it will have an impact on Collingwood now this weekend? He's not playing, so that's the first thing.
Yeah, well, that hurts them. Oh, look, traditionally these things do, but I like that it's a Sunday game, if that makes sense. If they're playing Thursday, Friday, obviously, I think they'll be okay. But history shows these things do seem to make a way of annoying the rest of the team and they don't play how they should. He's in good form. I think they'll still beat GWS and then we all move on and he comes back to training, you'd think, next week. I don't think it's I need a month off. I think it's just, let's settle down this week and get back next week.
And again, apologies for those that have been listening throughout the course of the week, but now the dust has kind of settled. If Collingwood had their time again, would they allowed him to go?
No way. And they still haven't answered that, which Mark Anderson fronted the media and, yeah, which was, in my opinion, about 3 days too late. And he didn't really answer a few questions, which is, well, who let him go? Yes, other players went, but Jordan, my argument is, and, you know, some people go, oh, you can't let players allowed to do whatever they want, it's their free time. But this was an individual case, by case basis, he shouldn't have been allowed. And I don't know who ticked that off yet.
Mm.
They shouldn't have. It would have... I'm telling you now, I guarantee if he was in Noosa or Sydney, this wouldn't have happened. In that, and he shouldn't have. It goes back to him posting on Instagram the fact he was there. No one knew he was there till he started showing it on Instagram. And then it's like, yeah, Kane Corns was onto it. Everyone was like, oh, why is Jordan DeGoey there? If he didn't post on Instagram, we probably didn't know he was there.
No, that's exactly right.
Seriously, yeah. We wouldn't have known this video from this random girl's phone. But I'm with you. It goes back to why Collingwood should have stood up. His manager should have stood up. People around him should have stood up. Said, maybe sit this one out. You know, you've had a good 3 months. And he's part of the excuses coming out of Collingwood and Jordan was, oh, I have been having counselling. And what, do you reckon the counsellor, the psychologist said, this is a good idea. Off you go. He should never have gone to Bali.
Yeah, it's and as I said, I don't.
And
want
it's a case by case. I'm not saying players shouldn't be banned from going overseas.
Exactly right. And as I said, I don't want to talk about it all because now Thursday and it's been spoken about a lot. But there was obviously an update on things yesterday. I just don't understand why Collingwood would open themselves up for this possibility. But the thing that still is just continuing to astound me is this want in life for everything to be filmed. Why can't you just put your phones away,
it's a different generation.
Your cameras away, and just have a holiday?
I know. Well, like, exactly.
Because at the end of the day, you talk about having to post on Instagram. But if he and his mates just had left, put their phones in their pocket and just had a good night out, like I'm sure a lot of players over the course of their break have had a blowout at one point.
Oh, no doubt.
And good luck to them. They can do what they like. But to then go and film it and then open himself up for potential trouble, whether it's them or whether it's the women that go out and do what they do and do stuff off IKEA plates and all that sort of stuff, just keep your phones away. Like, I don't understand.
It makes sense to us, but we're all old.
We are all
this
old.
This new generation just... they want to tell everyone where they are, what they're doing.
I know.
And when you're a footballer who's probably going to do some bad stuff, you shouldn't do that.
No.
Come on.
We'll take a break because there's plenty of other things going on. Fascinating news in cricket.
I know.
There's actually two big stories in cricket, one bigger than the other. But the Shayna Jack story, which is just extraordinary. Plenty in golf because two more big names have gone over to the LIV Tour overnight.
But they're allowed to play the British Open, which...
yeah.
Oh, I love.
But now the PGA Tour of America have come back and have thrown all sorts of money at their own tour in response. So there's all sorts of things going on there. And I mentioned also Nick Kyrgios injured before Wimbledon.
You've joined The Breakfast Club.
6:20 on this Thursday morning. Pretty dark and gloomy outside, although it is going to be 17 today.
Actually, you would have been the perfect person. I'm probably Daniel or Adam, I'm not sure. The winter solace. Did you sleep through all this?
Shortest day of the year.
Yeah, well, Trent became Jane Bunn and told the world. We didn't know.
You didn't know?
No, us, Nicholas and I were like, gee, it was very dark still. Yeah. And then we had Trent explained. Oh, you got a few things wrong about where the sun was, but he was pretty good.
Yeah, winter solstice, shortest day.
It's one of your big things, I would have thought.
You learned that at school. Like, I think in the Northern Hemisphere,
here we go.
Yesterday was the first official day of summer.
Yeah.
Like even though the summer starts the first of
June,
really, they actually say that it's start of summer from the start of the summer solstice in the Northern Hemisphere.
I was fascinated by it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Trent was all over it, thank God.
Hey, Dave Hussey's going to join us a little bit later on, the coach of the Melbourne Stars, to talk about what this BBL draft means. But, because I'm not entirely sure why it's going to make a massive difference on things, but essentially what we're going to see is that for overseas players, they're going to be put into a pool, there's going to be a draft order assigned by a lottery, and then pick the players in the pool, the overseas players. Now, you are able to have a mortgage on existing players. So, for example, Rashid Khan can stay with the Strikers.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
There might be a couple of others in that category as well. But I think the important thing is that the player level, so a platinum player is worth $340,000 for the summer, a gold player $260,000, silver $175,000, and then bronze $100,000. So they have lifted the
pool of money. That's more than they've previously been paid.
Yes, they have lifted the pool of money to try and make sure that these players come here and not go to either South Africa or the UAE, where there are two new tournaments that are coming up or popping up at a similar time to when the BBL is to be played. So that's their challenge. Cricket Australia is to get the big names to come. Hopefully, they come for the entire tournament. But again, there's the situation. I would imagine it would be a pro-rata scenario that a platinum player might come for half the tournament. So rather than getting the 340, they get the 170 and so forth. But Dave Hussey will join us later on to talk about it. What's your initial thoughts? Does that make you more excited, less excited, or doesn't change your view on the BBL?
It makes me feel like they needed to do something they are. So it's a tick.
Yep.
It opens up the possibility of getting, you know, Quinton de Kock, Owen Morgan, like people we know who are very good in this caper. So I think it's, like I said, big positive because we have to move with the times. Like you said, there's rival comps popping up everywhere. So we have to get, we can't just sit back because it's bad enough that the best Australians don't play. I think we all, like Warner hasn't played a game.
Yeah.
So for us to cope with that, you have to then balance that by trying to get some names who people know.
Yeah.
And you got to throw cash at them. That's just the way of the world. So I like it. Whether it works, time will tell. But, you know, 8 games for $340,000, that's pretty good if you're an international. I know they get a lot of money all over the place, but got to make it attractive to be here and shorten the season. We all agree with that, don't we?
A lot do, but I'm not sure it will be shortened.
Really?
It might be compressed slightly. But
compressed more? Every night?
Yeah, well, there might be more double headers and things like that. There might be a day game followed by a night game.
It's going to be impossible.
They're determined to have 14 matches for each team.
Okay. It's going to be impossible to get the Aussies because those two tests, the Boxing Day in Sydney, just are never going to move.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, where one thing has changed slightly is that there was that scheduled 3 1-day internationals against South Africa immediately following the test matches.
Now, ridiculous.
That now looks like it's not going to happen, which will free up the Australian players to at least play the back end of the tournament. So
the
that is a bonus, which didn't look possible 3 or 4 weeks ago. Well, but this whole thing around, the one thing I'll say about this is, and Daniel Cherney's written about this in News Limited papers today, they're trying to have a trade period, and the trade period was Billy Stanlake and Daniel Worrell have a straight swap. or it might be Michael Beard of the Stars for James Muirhead. That's not really capturing the imagination of people, that sort of thing, in all due respect to those players. Well, but I don't think that's what the competition is. So drafts and trades and these sorts of things, that's not going to fix the Big Bash.
I agree with that.
Get the core product right first.
Which is the best players playing.
And not dragging it out over a long period of time.
Yes.
And, yeah, getting the best players playing.
Look, I think you could have one day of trading that, you know, but you don't need to, it's not an AFL style, like you said. There's not enough big names there to play with. So
not enough people care.
Yes.
When it comes to the Big Bash, they want to sit down and watch it. All the peripheral stuff I don't think is really going to make more people interested and engaged in it.
They had to do something.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true. We'll see.
Mike Hussey. Dave Hussey will be all over it.
The other thing that's happened is they've launched a new tournament in the West Indies called the 60.
The Windies have come up with
so this is a tournament where it's 60 balls each, 30 from one end, then 30 from the next, and there's you can unlock extra power plays if you hit more than two sixes in the first three overs, and all these sorts of things going on.
It's over in 38 minutes.
You can vote for a mystery ball and stuff. I'm serious.
We don't need that.
They've got to be careful that they don't just completely saturate cricket to the point where people just completely lose interest in all of it.
Well, is that actually enjoyable for the players? I know it's hit and giggle, but that's taking it completely the mickey out of it. 60 balls. What if you're batting at eight and you... How many overs you get the ball? One each or something?
I don't know.
I don't think we're in danger of embracing that. That sounds silly.
Yeah. The thing about that, and I'm going to seek clarification with Dave Hussey, but this whole thing about the players coming, if they come for four matches, do they get the 340 or is it pro rata? I think it might not be pro rata. I just feel that they've got to come for the tournament. They can't just come for three or four matches and then go away.
What, go off to the Saudi Arabia and get another...
I don't think it does the competition any good with players leaving halfway through to go to another competition.
But the international players go, this is too long, it's over Christmas and New Year and you're making me stay here for 2 months.
Is it better for the competition that they then don't come? Or is it...
No, well, we need the names.
Yeah.
Because the 5 years ago when it was quirky that blokes off the street played and they became overnight sensations, I think that's sort of worn a bit thin now.
Mm.
Now it's like, oh, we vaguely know who these blokes are, but they're B-graders and they're plodding around every night. And you get in a rhythm of, I saw the Queensland or the Brisbane whatever's 2 nights ago. I've seen the same blokes and they're all no-names. You need star. It needs star factor. Seriously.
Because
The Aussie stars aren't allowed to be there, so we need...
Well, there's a text that's just coming here to say, don't be so naive, the Australian test players are not going to play. Well, I think they're going to be told they have to play.
Last 2 weeks, why wouldn't you come in for the finals, hit and giggle, play, what, three or four matches? I think they'll all embrace that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Shayna Jack, have you caught up with this news from overnight?
Punching walls.
Well, I don't think she punched a wall. She fell over.
Was it a fall over?
I don't think it was a punch of the wall situation.
During training. Oh, okay.
I think she slipped and then sort of put her hand out to the wall and it's broken her hand.
Oh, okay.
So this was going to be the most extraordinary story that she's taken the drug suspension. She still maintains that she never did anything untoward. She amazingly qualifies for the World Championships and for the Commonwealth Games. She wins gold in the relay. She was pretty much going to be favourite in the 100 metre freestyle.
She was in the pool.
She was in the pool.
That's what I mean. She was in the pool, like practicing, turns and went a bit hard at the wall. Like, bang, I've finished my 50 metre and broke it. She was in the water.
So she's so close to being able to win an individual gold.
Yeah, an individual gold, exactly.
So it's a training session. We just got the press release here. Training session. She's broken her hand and she's brokenhearted to announce that she has to withdraw.
Oh, that's a great...
Rest of the competition and won't have the opportunity to achieve everything I wanted to.
She's got to get ready for the Comm Games, where she'll be a superstar. Yeah, that's funny, but sad. Wow.
Yeah. So they are the World Championships that are going on in the moment. The golf situation. So,
yes, explain it to me.
LIV Golf have announced two more that have joined.
We had this first on RSN.
Yesterday?
No, like 3 days ago, Evan Priest, our man
with
Golf
Brooks or with Abraham.
Abraham, he declared Abraham.
Yeah, so Abraham answered that's happened. So Australian Open winner, and top 20 in the world, Brooks Koepka has now joined as well. So sort of like the bad guys of golf, Koepka, Johnson, Reed, DeChambeau have all joined.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Now, the PGA have announced massive prize increases, purse increases. Massive. So we now got a situation where, for example, the Arnold Palmer's gone from a $12 million event to a $20 million event. And the LA Open, which is now called the Genesis Open's gone from, say, 10 to 20. So massive increases on a number of the big events. The Players has gone from 20 million to 25 million. So there's eight of them that have all been increased to become these sort of premium events outside the majors. They're going to go back to a calendar year schedule from 2024, so not that wraparound tour that we've currently got at the moment. So they're making these changes. But while the commissioner is having the press conference, the Live Tour group dropped the announcement
that
Koepka has joined the tour.
If I'm one of the Live Rebels, playing in the British Open, massive. I still get to play in a great major that I enjoy. That's it. The Masters... That's PGA or the Masters their own island?
I don't know the answer to that.
The Masters usually do whatever they want.
I think there is still some uncertainty over a number of things because we did think in the lead up to the US Open that all those players weren't going to be able to play, and the US Open or the USGA said, well, no, they can. So I'm not sure.
If they're allowed to play the majors, the Live, why wouldn't you do it? Like, that's the... You get to play in the... four best tournaments of the year and go off and play around under the other banner, it's a no-brainer. It's hilarious. I mean, maybe the USPGA might be the one you're not allowed to play. Who cares? Play the other three. Bring it on.
So I mentioned those big American names, and they are big American names.
Now, what about Adam Scott? Talk to me.
He's
Sharky's best friend.
He was linked to it for quite some time but hasn't committed to it.
But now there's momentum.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that those four American players that have all... Those four that I will mention have all won majors. Anser hasn't won a major, but he's top 20 in the world. We know about Garcia and the European sort of experienced group that have all joined as well, but they can still play on their own European tour. It is now starting to gain credibility in the sense that the field is now relatively strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
The first event was a bit of a non-event, but they all are when something new starts. It takes a while for it to kind of bed down. They are now, they have to be taken a hell of a lot more seriously than what they were when it looked like the whole thing was going to be a flop, because you can't say it is now.
I didn't realise. Quinny said, three rounds? Is that what they're
three talking? Yeah, they play three rounds, no cut.
That's pretty good too.
But the strange thing was they played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they didn't play Sunday.
Didn't play the Sunday.
Yeah.
I think the Sharkies done this brilliantly. Like, yeah, we mentioned the other day, the soccer tried this. Remember that failed, the big clubs tried to get all the big clubs together, and they sort of had a handshake agreement, and then, hang on, oops, that went bad.
Mm.
Sharkies done this brilliantly.
Mm.
Apart from his stumbles early with some comments, which were ridiculous. He's getting the right people.
Yeah. I mean, we've spoken about a lot on this show over the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks as it's kind of evolved. And obviously the whole thing, so much of it is about money. And that's all most people hear. But a lot of the golfers that are going across are golfers that are unhappy with how the PGA Tour is run.
So, in what sense? What, they play too much?
I think just everything about it, the control they have, and just so much about it. It actually isn't just about money, but it's fair to say that a fair bit of it is, but it's not all about that.
We posed the question the other day, and you'd be better to answer this. So Dustin got 75 mil?
I think it was more than that.
Oh, did he?
I think it was over 100.
Well, Tiger was asked and was given a figure. Could you even try to explain what that figure was?
No, I don't know what it was, but it was...
500 million
or
something?
Monumental.
Imagine that.
Well, he doesn't need it, does he?
No, of course he doesn't.
Yeah.
So Rory's the one who put his stake in the ground.
Yep.
And he's got more prize money to play, but he's still got to win the tournaments to get all the extra cash, doesn't he?
Well, the question now is, based on what they've gone and done overnight with all this increase, would that have changed the mind of any of the players that have gone across?
They
will say no.
Yeah.
But there's some pretty significant increases there.
What about TV? Is Live on a certain network?
They do it live on Facebook and,
on the
website and all this sort of stuff. Yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah.
across this sporting state. RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
And welcome back to the program on this Thursday morning. Adam White, Scott Gullen, and now Mark Stevens in the studio for his footy segment. Good morning.
Morning, Whitey. Great to have you back. How's the diet been the last couple of days? All health sort of juices?
Well, it's a
recovery
real,
juice?
It's a real bonus when you don't feel well. You don't eat a lot.
You know what I saw and I thought of you? Have you seen the KFC deal at the moment?
$20. No, I'd like to know more.
10 tenders and 10 nuggets.
For how much?
$20.
Yeah, no, the tenders are good.
That's
tenders,
what I mean.
Tenders are underrated. They're
oh, tenders are the only reason
yeah,
you
don't,
go there.
You don't get the stuff with the bone.
I giggled walking past it. I thought, I've got to talk to him. But you've been on a health kick while you're near
well,
death.
Well, I'm, yeah.
Kale
not,
juice.
Not saying too much.
Recovery juices.
Recovery juices. Kale.
What have you got for us?
Well, Jordan Ngoi, obviously, we won't spend too
long
on this,
Whitey.
Now, I know that Adam's already been strong on this. It's interesting how it's just totally saturated the media. Of course, now on personal leave, which when you think about it, wasn't a huge surprise, given he hadn't turned up all week. Wasn't at the main session yesterday. Now, we've spoken about story dumps, Scotty, and they did this one at 6:35 before the news. So they sort of slip in, hoping it'd get lost a little bit. If you do it at 4 o'clock, it gets more publicity. But it's open-ended. So the question is now, will he be at Collingwood next year? I think it's certainly less likely now. And once you start taking a week or two off Scotland, you don't come straight back into the side. So this could stretch on for quite a while.
Could we have figured this out a day earlier and put it in the statement and sort of pretended it was almost, we've stood him down for a week to save face? So it's dragged on like Whitey is horrified about another day.
Yep, clearly there's angst in the background about who was at fault here.
Well, he's taken days to be able to say it was my fault.
He wouldn't be happy.
No, he's not happy.
He doesn't think he's done anything wrong. He's a bit like George. Caller earlier.
He's so, very much in George's camp.
But I think it was always going to be a fine. It was on the threshold of probably not a suspension, really.
He hasn't been fined.
Well, he hasn't been
no,
fined.
No, I know. We call it a suspended fine, which will never be enacted, as we said. It's never been activated, Whitey. Can you think of a suspended fine that's actually come into play?
Well, if this fine does get activated, it'll be part of a severance of a contract.
Correct.
So I don't think he's going to be in any danger, really, of paying that fine. But what has clearly happened, and I know this has been said through the week, is that the command for him as a player means that he will not get the money he was going to get. Because if it is that he stays at Collingwood, he's not going to get that, whatever was reported at, $3.2 million over 4 years or whatever. If he was to go to St Kilda, again, they can drop their rate now because they know they don't have to pay as much as
Jimmy
probably
Bartel,
what they had to.
He called it the Buffhead tax. So you probably drop $100 a year at this stage. But interesting.
So just the thing on that, though, which I still find fascinating, he's not nearly as good a player as what is made out that he is.
No, he's
now, whether it's the Collingwood factor or whether it's the tattoos or whether it's the bad boy image or whatever, he has never reached the potential of what he could be.
I agree with that, but take him out of this Collingwood team and they're not a finals team.
Yeah, he's a game buster.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's that important to this team right now.
Yeah, maybe.
He is. They're not a finals team without him.
But you say, Steve, he's a game buster.
He's the one you worry about as a supporter.
He has the potential to be a game buster.
Yeah, but he often does it. That long goal he kicked in the wet.
Oh, his career stats are horrible. BNFs, all that. His inconsistency is
But he
not
won
there.
Them the game against Hawthorn a couple of weeks back, which is really, remember the long goal outside 50 in the wet.
I think his importance to this team, what they're trying to do, is over what he's achieved.
But as an opposition coach, you worry about
it. Of course you do.
Yeah, because he's just got that something that Collingwood hasn't got a lot of.
Well, he's got a bit of, Jake Stringer, about those sort of types of players who you sort of need. But I agree, they get overpaid.
I think, Scotty, but my point on that is that he has the potential to be that player, but he's done it in a few games, but he hasn't reached that level of consistency say that he's a top 20 player in the AFL.
I think the fair link is with Petrarca, who was in the same draft. He was three spots away from Petrarca. Petrarca was this player, like Ngoi, and then flicked the switch, and we've seen what happened. Whether Ngoi can flick the switch is now up for debate. Maybe he can't.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that Brett Ratton yesterday put it on the record that, yes, we are interested.
Oh,
yeah,
apparently they're desperate, although I thought that was
very interesting.
Yeah, I think he went a bit further than he thought he would go there, and he said, well, we're interested in all free agents, but clearly they are interested. John Ralph went with that story, and poor old Ralphie, he got potted for that angle, and now St Kilda hasn't. It's been a big week.
He had a few technical hitches with the typewriter last couple of days, the great man.
So Susan Alberti's got involved as well. Oh, she's sick of it, and you don't want to cross Susan Alberti. I'm over it. I've had enough of this, and it's about time there was due respect for both sexes. So she
critical of Collingwood's handling of the situation, and I agree with that.
Yeah, they haven't handled it too well. What about Robbie Williams, Whitey?
Now,
I know this is 100% correct. I've had this verified. They've been talking for several weeks, the AFL, with Robbie Williams, just to really ramp and soup up the grand final entertainment. It's been a while. We had who did we have up in Brisbane?
That's exactly right. Who?
Oh, we had those. Hey, Shepherd.
Geronimo.
The Geronimo man.
But what, good sign.
Last year was good.
Who was it?
Well, we had Colin Hay, but that was from Los Angeles. So there wasn't really much happening. Oh, we had.
There was a bit of a medley, wasn't there, last year?
Yeah.
The good sign, Steve-O, was that he has just come into town in and out for a party in Melbourne. Got paid probably $1 million, Robbie. So his desire to fly in and out, he's onto it.
Maybe part of a double deal.
So he's prepared to fly in and out of Australia. He's not one of these, Australia's too far away. I think it's a no-brainer. I reckon it's a done deal.
So Whitey, Angels would be the end song, obviously, you think, just to get things really moving before the bounce? Oh, yeah.
No, Let Me Entertain You is the... That would be the key song for the lot, wouldn't it?
Well, I think Angels definitely, and Better
Man. That's a bit slow.
No, but it's emotion, and you want the crowd to sing.
How good the post-game concert is the key.
Yeah.
It's almost better than the pre-game.
Yeah, I'll put on record, I've seen Robbie Williams three times. I think he's fantastic. I couldn't care less whether he plays at the grand final or not.
Gil has to leave his mark on this. This has been a big part of Gil's...
Yeah.
Tenure as CEO, he needs to nail one of these. Robbie Williams, tick, tick.
Well, it's better than a lot of the others, concede, but it's not...
He's group one, and we've had Maiden Synthetic on a Monday before.
No, it's been all right. What about in Tassie? It was great, Gareth Hall on Central yesterday. He had the Sports Minister of Tasmania, Nick Street.
He's big in Tassie, Gareth.
He's big in Tassie. Now we, of course, go to Tassie. So Nick Street was very strong. He's still super confident that they can get a team down there. Of course, Eddie McGuire is trying to separate at home and away. You've got Tony Cochran saying, we're not up for this. The numbers don't add up. Here's the Minister on RSN's own Central.
Look, I'm hopeful that the 18 clubs at some stage will take the time to actually consider the proposal on its merits. Mm. Tony Cochran's already made the point that he doesn't want to see the proposal. He's not interested in the numbers. He just doesn't support it. And that's fine. If people want to be as narrow-minded as that, well, that's up to them. But we're still confident in the business case. Like you said, Colin Carter assessed the business case himself as an experienced AFL commissioner and former club president, and believes that the team can stand up and actually contribute to the AFL. All the conversations that we're having with Gil McLaughlin and the rest of the AFL are very positive.
So we're really on a campaign here, which is great. We're backing Tassie in, aren't we? And it was a strong interview.
What do you say about the stadium? Are they going to build one?
Yeah, they're going to build one. They're confident they can get it done. So,
well, I think that's the point, isn't it? If they say we've got the money for a stadium, the AFL...
They need to get the presidents over the line.
So we're under 2 months away from the apparent announcement, which is meant to be August, whether they're in or not.
Where do you sit with the presidents having the power?
They seem to be more influential than the CEOs.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, a presidential vote rather than Gil wants it and can't get it over the line.
The presidents are like the Senate in this case.
Yeah.
So you can't just have one man decide, maybe the Senate.
So at the moment, I mean, Cochran's clearly no. Jeff Brown, Collingwood doesn't want it.
Kennett.
Jeff Kennett, so it's two pretty
Sydney.
Big. So that's four at least. You got to get what, 70%? What do you think, Steve?
I still think it'll get done. You talk about Gil's legacy, it'll be Robbie Williams in Tasmania.
No, I agree with that. Because it's an easy one for him. He goes, yeah, I agree. In 2028, off you go. Start building. Yep. Good luck.
It certainly feels it's less certain than it was two months ago.
Yeah, even a month ago, I thought it was a no-brainer. But it's contingent on a start. I agree with Gil. They have to build a new facility. And if they can't get the money for that, well, it's not going to happen. Do you agree? They can't just say, we'll just add a couple of layers to, Belrive. You need to jazz it up and do it properly.
Yep. No, it's a good... The drawings look great, so hopefully it happens. And there is a game of footy on tonight, Whitey, even though if you open the paper today, even Scotty's columns before the teams.
Well, I carry a fair bit of weight.
Well, there's some big news in the teams.
There is.
I'll mention, first of all, you go with the Brisbane team, Whitey.
Well, I just think that two of their most important players are not playing. Now, I don't think there's too much of a surprise with the fact that Dane Zorko's not playing for the Lions, but he is very important to them. But don't discount how important Zach Bailey is to the Lions, and he's out as well.
Freak.
And Gardner. I mean...
Yeah, Gardner's important to them. Yeah. With
but
Melbourne's
I'm not saying
set up.
That is... Like, I've already picked Melbourne, and when I saw that, I went, that's hard for Brisbane.
Yeah, he's the cream on top, isn't he? The type of guy who could kick, three, four, five goals and be the difference. Interesting at Melbourne, Wiedemann back in again. I mean... Really, it's time to deliver for him.
I
just checked his age, Whitey. He's 24.
What's the bigger story, Wiedemann in or Brown out?
No, it's Mitch Brown, isn't it?
Hmm.
It's not Ben Brown. There's 100 Browns running around.
Yeah, I think it's Mitch Brown out.
I think it's Mitchell Brown.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, the typing's very small.
It's Mitch Brown who's been at 15 clubs, so he's out.
Big test now for Weed. I mean, he's had a lot of chances.
You look at his development. I don't know. Some players play three or four great games and never play well again. He's in that boat right now. And he's had plenty of opportunities, i.e. Melbourne are in a bit of slump, and now he's finally got another one. Clearly they have to win, but I'd be... Brisbane haven't won for 9 goes at the MCG.
Better side, obviously, now. What would the par crowd be? Because obviously Petrarca spoke about this, that the Melbourne supporters are an older demographic.
They haven't
been turning up. It's going to be cold. The snow season's on the way. The school holidays are about to start. People still be heading to the snow. I'm not sure there's going to be too many people there for a 1v2 game at the G.
Well, I was talking to someone at Geelong. And, Geelong-Richmond, I'm getting to your point. On Saturday, Arvo, what would be your crowd? Because clubs predict what they think. I know what Geelong think they'll get.
Early 50s.
I agree.
45's all they're predicting, which I thought it's way under.
I would have thought 55.
I thought you get 60 to that. So then you correlate that to tonight, Thursday night, school holidays hasn't kicked in yet. They might, if they only get 22 or 3 or something, that's terrible.
I think they'll get mid to high 20s.
I think Scotty will be closer. It'll be interesting tomorrow. I'm going with 21.5. I don't think there'll be... Well, we've seen the Thursday night crowds are disappointing.
I think you can only play interstate a lot Thursday nights. Adelaide pack out all the time.
I still don't understand why they're playing the Thursday night games outside of school holidays. That's what I don't understand.
Yes, I agree with that.
I know quite a few of my friends and family that barrack for Melbourne or Brisbane. They're not taking their kids tonight.
Although tomorrow, half day, end of school. Wag that. Come on.
Yeah, but let's play a game then. If Melbourne and Brisbane were playing on a Saturday afternoon, what would you expect the crowd to be?
33.
51.
For Melbourne, Brisbane?
Yeah. Oh, no, Melbourne don't tell. 43.
Yeah, I would say low to mid 40s. So they're losing 20,000. Now, does that matter? Because the TV ratings for tonight, you'd imagine first versus second to be very good.
I'm an advocate for Thursday night footy, but I know what you mean.
Yep.
So if you're the fixture boss of the AFL and you're doing your fixture, are you better to have Melbourne and Brisbane if you want to play those two teams? It's at the Gabba.
Yes, Thursday night Gabba, packed house. Correct. Totally agree. Mm.
The other interesting point is, just for our listeners, this is a community service announcement. The footy starts at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Bulldogs Hawthorn.
I've got to cover that game. What?
That's
what's happened?
Like suddenly we've gone 7:50. We're back to 7.
It was a doubleheader Friday night.
Doubleheader. So it hasn't really been
publicised. It's not 7:05 either.
No, it's bang on 7 o'clock. So we've got all these strange times, Whitey. And for some people, that's going to cause some difficulties. So there should be more advertising around this. I only just noticed that yesterday. Normally it's 7:40, 7:50, rock up. So things will be tight there. Just briefly, Wiedering a chance to be back next week from that injury that he's had. Waitman's pushing. He trained yesterday. Brave.
Well, we're going to pick him.
Wasn't he going to be out for 12 weeks
or
something?
He's pushing. He's strapped up and pushing.
Courageous bulldog.
And Darcy Parrish, Whitey's favourite. He got through. He's half a chance to get up for the Perth game. And I think they're the better of the round, West Coast, at the line. 18 points.
Yeah, West Coast will probably win.
They'll probably win. And they're about $3 at the moment, Whitey.
I think West Coast are a very good price. Very good price indeed. So we're getting some text messages through. Send them through 0416 90 50 52 for nearest to pin for tonight's crowd. So we're getting 21.5, maximum 25. There's a 27 here. So none more than 20,000 at this stage for first versus 30, second.
Yeah. It is not a good look. I agree with that.
Welcome aboard the Breakfast Club.
22 past 7, Adam White and Scotty Gullen with you as we talk cricket now with Dave Hussey, the coach of the Melbourne Stars. We're even during the ad break trying to work out all the rules of the new draft that was announced yesterday. And fortunately, Dave Hussey knows all about it and can explain everything to us. Good morning, Huss.
Morning, Whitey. How are you?
We're a bit confused, but can you explain how it's all going to work?
Yeah, effectively you get platinum, gold, silver and bronze tiered players. Everyone gets basically three choices, platinum, gold, silver, and it goes around. Well, the Stars will get one of the first three picks, depending on the lottery, and then it snakes around. So between the Scorchers will get probably the last pick, depending on how the lottery falls. It snakes around to how it all works out that way, if that makes sense.
Now, Huss, I'm worried about this one little dot par I'm looking about in the paper. These salaries are locked in no matter how many matches international players make themselves available for. So could I say, yep, I'm a platinum player, ready to go, and I play one game for 340K?
No, the way I understand it is, so you nominate as a player, Scotty, and then Cricket Australia, you nominate as a gold player, gold-tier player, but then Cricket Australia sort of can elevate you to platinum status, and yeah, you can nominate for one game, five games, 10 games, whatever. But the idea is to get the best overseas players playing in the BBL, whether it's one game at the MCG or five games or whatever it is. So it's a good system and one I'm definitely in favour of.
So you only get one go at a platinum player?
Well, there might be, say, 15 platinum players, so you might actually be lucky enough to get two platinum players if your salary cap can afford it, basically. So, yeah, you might be lucky enough. And you get a player retention as well. So the Adelaide Strikers boys, I'm assuming they'd select, or if, say, the Renegades get the first pick and they choose Rashid Khan, the Adelaide Strikers can actually use their player retention pick on Rashid Khan to keep him at Adelaide Strikers, which is a fair and fair and equitable rule as well.
Yeah, definitely. So with the Australian players that aren't currently aligned to a club, say like a David Warner, would he go into that pool, or being an Australian player, he wouldn't?
No, they wouldn't. They're not in the pool. This is just purely for overseas players. But you raise a good point. There's actually a South African series on, or possibly on, during the BBL time. But if that gets cancelled, I'd love to see a local player, Australian player draft for the players who represent Australia who aren't aligned with a BBL team to go into another draft and they get allocated to a BBL team. Oh, I'd love to see Pat Cummins play for the Melbourne Stars or a David Warner play for the Melbourne Stars, for example, playing at the MCG. And I think seeing the best domestic players, best Australian domestic players playing in the BBL will actually grow the tournament as well.
So, Huss, is there a strong reality that players, international players, will come December to early Jan and possibly go over to the UAE or somewhere like that? So we'll get them for like 6 to 8 games maybe, and then but the second half less international players?
Yeah, well, it's speculation at the moment, but the draft's only just opened up, so the players can apply. The UAE league is, well, if it's sanctioned, that's going to be a huge draw card for some of the overseas players. But like I said before, we want the best overseas players, whether it's one game, two games at the MCG representing the Melbourne Stars, which is just good for the tournament. And then our fans get to see the best players playing at the MCG, smacking the white kookaburra out of the stadium and winning games of cricket for the Melbourne Stars. So whether it's one game or five games or finals as well, something the teams have to weigh up what's more important for your team, one game or the whole season.
It makes a complete nightmare for yourself and list manager to try and work out the best strategy. And I guess that makes it exciting and intriguing at the same time because everyone's going to have different strategies. But I would imagine, Huss, that the biggest takeout out of all of this is that there is more money being put into the pool. So there is a better chance of getting better players coming this year.
Yeah, 100%. But also, where would you rather be over the summer period? I'd rather be in Australia celebrating Christmas in the warmth rather than being cold somewhere else like England or, Caribbean would be nice. That's obvious too. But yeah, every team's going to have their different strategies. And for us, the Stars are aligned with attracting the best overseas talent playing at the MCG for as many games as they possibly can. And we're going to have our strategy in place and hopefully it's going to be foolproof and we're going to provide the best entertaining package playing at the MCG for our fans and hopefully we can win a few games as well.
And it does look like you're going to have a big win, I'm talking about the Stars here, with those South African one-day matches now unlikely to be played during the Big Bash. So the likes of Zampa, Maxwell, Stoinis, just to name three, look like they're now going to be available for you, which didn't look like was going to be the case.
Yeah, that would be handy. They're pretty much pivotal. They're a spine of our team, really, and they've been the backbone of our team for many years. So for them to be available for the whole season, if the South African series is cancelled or postponed, that's huge for us. And I know those three, they absolutely love playing for the Melbourne Stars and at the MCG in front of our fans. And I've already been speaking to Zant about it. And he's not in Sri Lanka at the moment. He's on paternity leave. And he's just very, very excited for the BBL to start up again. And we just all can't wait to hopefully play some decent, entertaining cricket in front of our packed fans at the MCG.
And the draft is most likely going to be live on TV, Huss. So, all those AFL drafts you've watched, you can be one of those people and read out numbers and pause and ask for extra time.
Eat snakes and that sort of stuff in the bowl.
Yeah, I feel like Kevin Costner out of draft day.
Yeah, there it is.
What to do. But no, it should be an exciting night. It's the first one. And hopefully it goes bigger and bigger. And, I don't know. I think it's a good initiative that hopefully grows to be bigger and bigger. And we do attract the best overseas cricketers coming down under for the BBL.
So, Huss, obviously we're in late June. It doesn't start until December. Are you hard at work now trying to build your team and trying to recruit players, or if you had to sort of wait to see what this draft looks like, what the actual schedule looks like before you can sort of get your teeth stuck into it?
Yeah, it's probably a bit more quiet these days at this time of year, but it's more about focusing on the domestic players and focus on the game plan they actually want to play throughout the domestic players. So at the moment, we have only two spots available left on the Stars list for domestic players, and I'm sort of focusing on them, looking at stats and which players actually suit the Melbourne Stars, but also trying to predict future years, trying to keep our list strong and competitive for many years to come, so we do play an entertaining brand of cricket and become like the Geelong, always competing every year and play an entertaining, exciting brand of cricket. But the overseas draft and seeing the best overseas players, see who nominates, and I'm sure once all the names start coming in thick and fast, we'll sit down as a group. Clint McKay, Ben Rora, Blair Crouch, we all sit down as a group and discuss which is the best options for us and strategise how many games available for, say, for example, Andre Russell or Joss Butler or Joe Clark, for example. So, it's going to be quite exciting.
So with free agency, I think, opens up now and the ability to trade players and that sort of thing, is that something the Stars will get involved in, or you'll be more sort of, as you said, you've only got two spots left, it's more about assembling those marquee players?
No, we're open to all opportunities. I guess other teams will always come to the Melbourne Stars because we do play an exciting brand of cricket and we do try and attract the best players. So, yeah, we're open to all options. Everybody's on the table, but it's slightly different to, say, the American trade system where I could just trade you, Whitey, tomorrow and you don't get a say, the player does have a big say in what they want to do and whether they want to stay or go, for example. So it's slightly complicated, but it's a great system, and the Stars are always open to bettering their list for longevity.
So just one final one. Do you think, is this enough, or is this significant enough to feel that it will inject some extra interest into the competition? Because it's all about trying to, I guess, arrest the slide that we've seen over the last couple of years, and there's been a number of reasons why that's been the case with COVID, etc. Do you think this is a big enough thing?
I think it'll be a decent shot, yes, but personally I'd like to see the Australian players, the centrally contracted players, playing as well as the best overseas talent playing in the BBL. If that's the case, I think the BBL will go back to where it was, half a decade ago.
Mm. Interesting times. Thanks very much for your time, as always, and we'll catch you again soon.
Absolutely, gents. And by the way, Mark Stevens should claim credit for it. He's a bloody hound. he knows everything.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry. He reminds me every 5 minutes that he
doesn't need that sort of...
No, he doesn't.
Encouragement.
Well, Scott, I'm surprised it wasn't you. You're a very, very good investigative journalist. So.
Thank you, Haas. I appreciate that. we'll let Steve have his day in the sun.
Thanks, Haas.
Cheers, gents. Bye.
Dave Hussey joining us there. So,
I like it.
Yeah.
Can't hurt. We'll worry about how many games they play when we get to December and January.
Well, it's got people talking about cricket anyway.